Greetings in Jesus' name. I was blessed and challenged by the things that were shared here so far. I was just thinking a little bit about vulnerability and how that, I guess, thinking about that in my life and thinking about what we experience when we make ourselves vulnerable. And our enemy tells us that that's a dangerous thing to do and that you shouldn't do that. But what does our experience tell us? Do we have people among us that are good at taking care of souls? And when we make ourselves vulnerable, what do we experience? And if we experience people caring and helping us in those times, it gives us more strength and courage to go deeper into those things. And so I guess I was just blessed and challenged by that, thinking about that, and what do people experience when they make themselves vulnerable to me? And if we can ask ourselves that question, you know, what is the results of that? And I was challenged by that and just wanted to share that. As I was thinking about sharing here this morning, a verse that I found that I guess motivated me into this, maybe I just need to back up a little bit. When we are preparing or doing something, and we know that there's people back there somewhere that are investing time in prayer and praying for us, it does something to us. It motivates us to go further, to go deeper. And I've been thinking about the church and how the church is supposed to work together. And as God's people, we desire to work together. And so I guess the word that I was looking for is unity. And how does that look and feel? And I was looking at verses and thinking about things, and I just couldn't really get it up and running. And finally, I came across a verse. If you turn with me to John chapter 17. And the title of my message is Jesus' Prayer for Unity. In this chapter here, we see that Jesus was actually praying for his people. And I think it was reaching out to you and I. And his heart was that we would experience unity like Jesus experienced unity with his Father. Let's just pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again just bow before you here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have of being gathered together with your people, our people, Lord, and that we are here wanting to hear from you, to be taught by your word. I pray, Lord, that you would again, that you would minister into the needs that each one of us has, that our hearts would be drawn to you, that we would be stirred to go further, to go deeper, to allow you to make us into the people that you want us to be. I pray this morning that you would be with any of those that are not here, that are wanting to be here, those that are others that are maybe listening in. I just pray, Lord, that you would bless their hearts this morning. Lord, we do want to commit this service to you, and we want you to receive all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 17, and I'll start reading here in verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. In verse 20 here. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Here in verse 20, we see Jesus' prayer, or verse 21, in his desire for us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. For why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He was praying that this work would be worked out in our lives for one reason. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Something that is happening in the church, in the lives of the believers, that gets the world's attention. And as I was thinking about that, you know, the church at times tries to fabricate and tries to make this look a certain way when it's not really working out. We take things into our own hands and we start putting things in place to try to make it look like something. And maybe some of us, our wheels are turning, and it's like, well, yeah, that's, you know, that's what we're doing. But I guess, you know, in some of the settings that I grew up in areas that they did, you know, if they were, at least back then, if they were to step into my little world here, they would, their wheels would be turning, and it's like, wow, you know, there's only, I don't even see anyone wearing a white shirt. What's wrong? There's no suit coats. There's a few people here with short sleeve shirts, and you know, it's like, wow, you know, they're pretty loose living. And so, you know, it's, we can obviously, the things, the areas that we've, the way that we've been taught and raised and growing up will in some ways affect in what we see as a unified group, a people that is working together. But I would like to lay aside some of those thinkings and rather look at what was Jesus trying to, what was his prayer here? What was his desire for his people? And I believe that his heart and his prayer was that it would be a people that had a heart, that had a relationship with him. A relationship to that desires to serve, to follow Jesus, no matter what. And the kind of relationship that I believe Brother Matthew was sharing about, that is willing to invest time into the people, that is willing to become vulnerable for Jesus. In that vulnerability that I'm talking about is just showing how much that Jesus means to me. And willing to do that. And as the world sees those kinds of Christians, it gets their attention. The world hears many people calling themselves Christian, and it doesn't, in some cases, these people don't really speak into their lives, maybe in word, but not in action. But Jesus is looking for a people that the words they speak hold life because of the life that they live. As I was thinking about unity, you know, one of the things, and I think it's the core thing that holds us together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 there, just tells us, you know, just, I think, brings that picture together. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that is the common ground that we all have. We've experienced being separated, or we've experienced not having Christ in our lives, and we've been made alive. And you know, Adam's experience in the garden was there, you know, he was communing, he was spending time with God. And but when sin came in the way, that was separated. And Christ came into the picture and made that can be alive in our lives. So basically, sin had brought a great division between them and God. And so it is for us. And Jesus has brought us together. And so that's a very common ground that we have and we build on. But life is more complex than that. And I think we've heard some of those things that, you know, it's easy to get distracted by things and debate things and allow our lives to get muddied. In Jesus' prayer here, we see Jesus' heart. His desire is that we would be one. That we would be perfected in unity. Filled with God's love. Perfect doesn't mean that we never mess up. When I look at perfected in unity, what I think of is rather it is that we're fit and mature, ready for task, ready to go to work. That kind of people. A purpose, you know, we purpose to go out and do the Lord's work. The kind of life that is able to show Jesus to the people. Perfected in unity. You know, this is the kind of life that we want to be living. This unity that Jesus mentioned here in John, that he had with the Father, what did that look like? In Luke, and I'll just point to a couple of verses here. In Luke chapter 2, just some verses that I thought of, and I'm sure there's many more. We go down to verse 49. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Here, Jesus spoke these things to his parents, and his parents had reason to be concerned. They had been looking for him for 3 days, and they were, I'm sure, overjoyed and maybe frustrated that it took so long to find him. And when they found him, this is the response that Jesus gave to his parents, that he knew that he had a job to do. He sensed that calling. But something that I noticed here, looking at this verse here, is Jesus recognized that it wasn't time yet to actually fill that out, and it says that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So we see that's the relationship that Jesus had with his Father. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, when Jesus was facing the cross, he talked to his Father, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me." This was something that Jesus wished. But he makes it clear to his Father, "Nevertheless, not what I will, but what your will is." So we see how closely Jesus walked with his Father. Talking about vulnerability and trust, and knowing that God's plan was right. In John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." In this passage, he told the Jews that they were together and that no one could change that. So we see just a little bit here the relationship that Jesus had and how together they were. And as we think about that, and that's the prayer that Jesus had for his people, that they would be together, and that our love for Jesus would be that obvious, and our love for one another would be that obvious. And for what reason? The reason was that the people, the world, might believe who Jesus is. In Ephesians chapter 2, like to turn there and just spend some time in Ephesians here. The unity that we should show as a church is experiencing the gift of salvation and living that out in our lives. And we see that as we read through chapter 2, and then we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I think I'm going to read starting in verse 1 and read through partway through the chapter here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In verse 3 here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We are called to keep unity, to maintain it. Unity is not something that we create, but it is something that God works out in our lives. And he's telling us in verse 3 here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In verse 4 to 6 there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, in you all. True unity is something from God. It is something that we have experienced in God wants us to value it, to allow it to work out in our lives. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What are we hearing? This is something verse 3 tells us to keep the unity, to take care of it. In verse 13 here, we see it's something that grows. You know, as we see it, as we experience it, We're drawn to it, and we want to see that work out in our lives. The love and the unity that Jesus was praying for us and wanting us to experience is mostly maintained by gentleness and patience and enduring love. And I believe Matthew shared some of those things, how those things work out in our lives. You know, a deep care for one another. The kind of care that when we see someone failing and we realize they're headed in a direction that they don't want to head to, we're willing to step out and show and share and help them find something else. Unity, a togetherness, a working together, is mostly opposed by what are the things in our lives that will come against that kind of work? Pride. Our own self-interests. Things that I want to do. You know, when I'm focused on myself and my own well-being and my comfort and concerned about what people might think of me, which is all things that the enemy of our soul is going to try to zero in on and tell you that these are things that you need to be concerned about. And those are the things that will oppose and destroy, that will keep us from experiencing what Jesus wants us to experience. In verse 16 here in chapter 4, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make us increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're fitly joined together. You know, helping each other, helping the body to grow. We're to work together to have the interests of each other. If we look at verse 11, and we look at the different people that we are in the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. This gives us a picture, I think, of how different we actually are. And how easy it is, I think, for, if we're not careful, our focus is on what we feel God has called me to do. And we look at verse 16 there, he has given us all these different positions and abilities and people to make it all work together. So there's not missing links in our lives. But when we look at, you know, what's an apostle and what's prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to do. And when it's working together and people are doing what they're called to do, it's a beautiful thing. And it shows the world how people can work together because of their love of Jesus. But, you know, sometimes I think the frustrations that happens is, you know, the evangelist, he sees all the people that need to be in the church that aren't in the church. And the pastor, he sees all the people in the church that are hurting and need some encouragement. And the teachers, you know, they want to teach the word and are good at that. And the prophets, you know, they point out our errors. And sometimes, you know, when I'm as a pastor, you know, if we're not careful, the thing that I'm supposed to be doing, well, why isn't anybody else doing that? And we find ourselves getting frustrated. I heard this comment made one time in a conversation, and this person was sharing some frustrations about, he was frustrated with the church because they weren't doing a certain thing. And the comment was made, it's like, well, maybe you're supposed to be the one that's doing that. Maybe that's why the church isn't doing that. Because you're not doing what God wants you to be doing. And those are sobering thoughts, you know. We find ourselves frustrated because something isn't happening. And often, the reason we're frustrated is because we notice it. Maybe other people haven't seen it. If God shows us something that needs to be done, does He show us just to give us information? Or does He show us? Does He enlighten us? And because He realizes there's a work to be done and He wants you to be aware of it. You know, that's maybe a little bit like if you have a building and it's raining and you realize you have a leak in the roof and you see it and you dismiss it, and the next time it rains you see it again. And then, and again, and again. And finally we get frustrated because It's like, well, why isn't anybody doing anything about this? Maybe nobody else saw it. We could get up on the roof and fix it. First Corinthians. Chapter 1, going down to verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. Here, the message is that there be no divisions among you, that you that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, this takes purpose. It takes, you know, to live this out in our lives. It takes a humble heart. It takes a close walk with Jesus in order for this to be real in our lives. You know, they were accused of, or there was the things going on in this, around these verses of, you know, some were following one person, some another, and some claimed to be following Christ. And it wasn't working. And admonishment here was to, you know, not do those things, but to be joined together and to, you know, to work together. You know, a need to pray for each other and to care for one another will, I think, make some of those things go away. Our minds, you know, if we let our minds go, we see people making mistakes, and we can very easily build on those things and start tearing each other down and bringing separation. And we see clearly Jesus' heart is that his prayer for us was that we wouldn't live like that. And his reason was that we might show Jesus. In chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, going down to verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We recognize that we're all different. But I think when we're thinking straight, when we're thinking honestly, we realize and we see that we desperately need each other. But it is easy for us to think that I can do this alone. But we know that that isn't true. Unity is not it's not something that just falls on the church. It is a product of the church growing up. When I look at it, I think of, you know, a group of people that has experienced Christ and is living for the Lord. And it's a people that is allowing God's love to be in their hearts and is willing to share it and practices that. In Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. We see here, you know, it reminds us of how do we speak truth? You know, there's different ways that we can speak. You know, we can justify what we're saying. And I think we were reminded of that earlier today. But, you know, how we speak truth is going to, I think, have an effect on how it brings the people together. And that's what we want, you know. We want our brothers and sisters, we want each other to do well. We want us to be growing stronger and growing in love. A unified church is the work of Christ in you. A unified church is the work of Jesus working in my life, of Jesus working in your life. And being alive, the process of this working out, you know, when we think about Jesus' prayer and that working out, you know, that's another chapter that maybe we'd rather not go there. It's filled with trials and struggles, you know, to figure that out and have that work out. You know, it reminded me of growing up when I was, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that area, that time frame of my life, I was having a lot of growing pains. So bad that I loved to play sports, and I remember different times we were playing softball and I couldn't run the bases. It would hurt too much and I had to bow out. I would play till I couldn't play anymore. And you know, growing pains are real life experiences. It gets us where we want to be. You know, did I, as a young boy or a young man, Did I want to be a growing man? Absolutely. But when I was going through those growing pains, I didn't know what was going on exactly. And I would go to my parents and it's like, yeah, you're just growing faster than your body can keep up with, or something like that. And they would, I don't know, help me grin and bear, I guess. And so, you know, some of the trials and struggles that we have, that's maybe a little bit what it looks like. And we'd like to be growing men and women for God and somehow bypass that. Somehow, like, I want to be there, but I don't want to go through it. But if we embrace it, and we understand that we're what is happening, then we can come out the other side and become who God wants us to be. What happens when life trials come, and instead of letting them do their work and process us, and we run from them? And I'm sure that if we're honest with ourselves, we found ourselves in places where we've tried that. And when we do that, we find ourselves hurting even more. It doesn't help. It just makes it worse. So again, in closing here, in John chapter 17, verse 21, why was Jesus wanting the church to walk together, to be unified? In verse 21 there, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And you know, if we allow these things to work out in our lives, and we allow just allow Jesus' love to flow in us and through us to our brothers and sisters, and we embrace this. And you know, it was important enough to Jesus that in verse 20 there, that, you know, it was a prayer of his. He knew that it was the strengths of the church, and it was what was going to in many cases make the difference. Of people realizing that who Jesus is. And so let's allow those things to be worked out in our lives, and let's not lose sight of that. We need each other, and we have different abilities. We have different jobs to do. We see things differently. But God wants us to use those things to help each other and to bring us together for the cause that the world might see who Jesus is. May God bless.